What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When I was a teenager, I was still going to contemporary Christian music concerts. It was kind of the fad. We're talking here about the late 70s. And I distinctly remember going to one of these concerts and one of the musicians. These things always turned into worship services. They started out as concerts, and then they end up being basically kind of prayer revival services. Pretty much what you'd see in a big box congregation right now. That's what these concerts were back in the mid-70s. And I remember the musician during that time when they're praying and then they have a little preaching. Everybody has a chance to say something. He said something stuck in my mind at the time. He said, you know, when you pray, Jesus says, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So He says, if you pray for something more than once, you're not praying in faith. Ask once, be done. That's a prayer in faith. Because if you ask any more than once, it shows you really don't trust God. You're just empty. You're just heaping up empty phrases. And even in my ill-formed teenage mind, I knew that there was something wrong with that. I didn't know what, but I knew there was something wrong with that. He was misinterpreting that passage from Matthew chapter 6. Joining us to talk about that passage in our ongoing series on responding to evangelical proof texts, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay, the very common misinterpretation of Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 6 regarding prayer and empty phrases in evangelical circles. That misinterpretation, what kind of prayers does it lead to?
Well, the prayers, the thing that they think Jesus is getting after is rote or written prayers. So the only way then to pray truly is to be completely spontaneous. In fact, in most of American Christianity, there's a very intimate tie between spontaneity and spirituality. So if it's spontaneous, if we've never thought of it before, if it's just coming to the mind, and it's coming out unfiltered, then it must be from the Spirit of God. In fact, this is taken to an extreme, ironically, and we can maybe talk about the irony, in praying in tongues, where the person has no idea what the things are that are coming out of their mouth, and neither does anybody, really. But if this kind of spontaneity, this is just coming to me, this is just on the top of my mind, this is connected with the work of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time we were sitting in a kind of Bible study, and a couple kind of barges in, and they were normally there, and they'd kind of just noticed each other the day before, and they'd been on a date, and they barge into this Bible study, and they say, hey, we're getting married! And out they went, and you know, they dated for a day, and now they were married a week later, and the conversation afterwards was this being very impressed about how open they were to the move of the Spirit of God. That getting married was so spontaneous that it must be the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, sadly, the marriage only lasted for a couple of years and broke up, which was really quite something. But this kind of illustrates the point that if it's spontaneous, it's spiritual, and if it's not spontaneous, then it must not be spiritual.
So that's a general rule applied in evangelical circles, not just to prayer, but to almost all matters, preaching, certainly worship and those kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah, and so this is why, you know, this would be the text that's used against, for example, the liturgy, having the service written out and planned out the words to say before you actually gather in the church to say them. Now, the great irony, and I don't know how much of a secret this is, I mean, it's everyone acts like it's a secret, but everybody knows, is that the spontaneity of the praise worship is also planned out. I mean, this goes way back when you have some fast songs to get everyone worked up, and then you go into the slow songs, and then you have certain songs that are used when it's time to make a decision for Christ. I mean, that you're manipulating people's will by the liturgy of the style of song is really kind of quite obvious to anyone who's paying attention at all. But still, this idea of vain is your repetition, you know, praying like the pagans, is used against the liturgy, it's used against rote prayer, and it's even used against the Lord's Prayer, so that people will say, well, we don't pray the Lord's Prayer at night because you're not supposed to use vain repetition. You're not supposed to babble like the heathens. So that great treasure of a prayer is lost for a lot of American evangelicals.
So out of fear of even something that Jesus gave them to pray, when you pray, say, quotation marks, out of fear of repeating it or it being not completely spontaneous, they don't pray the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Now, in an extreme sense, although, see, I used to think this was a really radical, but I'm starting to understand that this is more and more a regular thought, and that is this idea that the Lord's Prayer belonged to the Old Covenant, not to the New Covenant. So that the Lord's Prayer was a Jewish prayer and is not to be prayed by the New Testament church. It was for a different time, and this is a dispensational idea. Now, I used to think that was really extreme, but I've heard it a few times lately. That's just horrible. But even if you're not that extreme, the kind of general understanding of being spiritual means that everything is coming from the heart. And if you have something memorized or you have the words that are given to you before, then by repeating those words, you cannot be spiritual. And this is horrible because really the theology behind it is a disconnect between the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is working in the Word. But there is in evangelicalism a disconnect between the Word and the Spirit, and that's manifest in our devotional and our prayer life. If you pray something that's written, if you pray the Psalms and pray the Lord's Prayer, then you're not being spiritual. You're being a pagan or a Pharisee. You're repeating vain words, and you're not intimately relating to God.
So give us the context of Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 6, and then the proper interpretation of this that would still leave us free and, in fact, still commanded to pray the Lord's Prayer, to pray the Psalms, all of those things
right. That
are written down, in fact, written down by God himself.
Yeah. Well, Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, so Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and he's taking up the law of Moses. And he's unfolding it in its fullness to the people, and especially here in verse 6, from about verse 5 to verse 15, he takes up his instruction specifically on what it means to pray. When we know God as our Father, how do we pray? And he talks first about how not to pray, and so he has two examples of how not to pray. The first is to not pray like the hypocrites. So this is chapter 6, verse 5. The hypocrites stand out on the street so that their prayers can be seen by men. Jesus says, when you pray, do it secretly. Go into your closet and pray to God the Father there. So the first is against hypocritical prayer. And then he says, and this is the verse that we're considering, verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, and so forth. And he gives us the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. What Jesus is saying is that with God as our Father, we don't need to do anything to please him in our prayers. He is already pleased with us in Christ and already cares for us so much that he knows exactly the things that we need. So we do not pray to atone or for our sins or to please God, but rather we pray in the great confidence of faith that knows that we have God as our Father.
Is Jesus, in the reference to many words, is he forbidding long prayers?
Here's the first irony, is that this verse, which is used as an excuse to not pray the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus says, hey, when you pray, don't use a lot of words. Don't use vain repetitions like the heathen. He gives us his example how not to do that, the Lord's Prayer. So that far from forbidding the Lord's Prayer, the logic behind Jesus' words, don't use vain repetitions, would lead us precisely to the Lord's Prayer. Now we have examples in the Scripture of very, very short prayers. I mean, Peter is probably the first example, when he's sinking into the ocean, and he simply prays to Jesus, help me. this prayer, Hosanna, Lord save, is all over the Bible, or Lord have mercy. But we have examples of longer prayers, too. I mean, Psalm 119 is a particularly long prayer. It takes, 15, 22 minutes to pray that prayer. The prayer at the dedication of the temple that King Solomon offered is a longer prayer, 5, 6, 7 minute prayer. And we know that Jesus, when he would pray, would often pray all night. So it certainly can't be used to forbid long prayers. The thing that's forbidden here is the idea that we need to somehow need to please God with our prayers. So we come to an angry God, and by our prayers we make him happy. And that's the thing that Jesus is warning against.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 8th. We are continuing our series with him, responding to evangelical proof texts. Matthew chapter 6, 7, and 8, Jesus on prayers. With empty phrases, long prayers, your Father knows what you need. That's our subject. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to evangelical proof text with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Jesus forbidding long and wordy prayers. Folks, Issues Etc. regular guest Molly Ziegler-Hemingway in just the last week has appeared on CNN's Reliable Sources, The Lead with Jake Tapper, Anderson Cooper's 360, and Fox and Friends. Now, you can both hear and meet her this summer at our Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. She's going to be making the case for the differences between men and women. Now, attendance this summer is limited to just 400 people. Registration costs $100. Find out more at issuesetc.org or contact Craig 618-223-8385 or email him, craig@issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Brian, we were talking before about the lengthy prayers, the empty words, the forbidding of by evangelicals of even the Lord's Prayer. I don't think they forbid it, but they certainly avoid it. Sometimes they'll do this, and I want to know what your response is. They'll say, the Lord's Prayer, because they know it's Jesus' prayer. And they're not dumb. They know he says, when you pray, say. But to avoid actually speaking those very words, they will say, he's just giving us an outline to pray. So we're not going to pray the prayer. We wouldn't do that, because that would be praying from a book. But we could use it as an outline. What do you make of that compromise there?
Yeah, well, I mean, so in a way, it's true. I mean, in the Lord's Prayer, in the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, we have everything that we would possibly ever need to ask for. I mean, that's all there. We cannot manage to think of a petition for something that we should be asking for that's already not included. So, I mean, the Lord's Prayer, it contains everything in our lives. And, in fact, it puts all of the things in our life that we would ask for in order. I mean, it prioritizes them. It groups them together. It makes them tell a story. It's just beautiful, the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's expanding our desires and telling us all the things that we would want. In fact, I think this is one of the most wonderful things about the Lord's Prayer, is that before it is, in fact, our prayer to the Lord, it is Jesus' instruction to us. And he's not only saying, here's what you need to ask for, here's what you need to pray. He's saying, here's what you need, and that's why you got to ask me for it. So that if we were just left to our own, we would probably know that we need daily bread, but that would probably be the only thing that we would pray. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. I mean, that would be the extent of it. But Jesus is expanding our desires, showing us our great need and his great love for us, which is why he says, your Father knows what you need. That's why you should pray for these things that you need. And he teaches us that. And so the Lord's Prayer is an outline for prayer. It's one of the ancient disciplines in the church to look at the Psalms and to consider what petitions of the Lord's Prayer each psalm is asking the Lord for. So that is good. But you simply cannot do better than, even if we treat the Lord's Prayer as an outline, you cannot do better than the words themselves. Because these are the very words that Jesus teaches us to pray. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we know that Jesus is delighted in hearing those petitions. We don't have to soften the request. We don't pray, hallowed be thy name, if it be your will. Because we know that it is his will that his name would be hallowed among us. We don't have to pray, forgive us our trespasses, if it be your will, because we know it is God's will to forgive our trespasses. So the Lord's Prayer and the very words of the Lord's Prayer open us up to this great boldness of prayer, which the Bible always required. Let the one who asks not doubt, says James in his first chapter, so that when we pray these words that Jesus has taught us and ask for these things that he's told us that we need, we are, in fact, praying in Jesus' name with the boldness that comes from faith in his promise and knowing that he desires to give it to us. So I hate the compromise of saying we can't use the words, but the idea of using the Lord's Prayer as an outline is certainly fine.
Okay, respond to this one, and this is a variation on the theme. While they won't make many prayers or long prayers, evangelicals, because they feel that Jesus must be forbidding that for some kind of mechanistic reason, they have another way of getting around it, and that is many prayers. That is, if we get enough people praying for the same thing, we will be heard, or will at least increase our chances of getting a favorable response from God. It's never put that way.
Yeah.
But that's often how it's practiced.
Yeah, I know. It's a kind of a weird thing. It's like, you know, to get something on the ballot here in Colorado, you have to have so many signatures. And the idea is that kind of extends to prayer. So to get the petition heard by God in heaven, if we have enough people asking for it, then he'll put it on the docket and give his attention to it. And that's it's a strange, and that is probably a pagan thing that Jesus is going against. I mean, a prayer starts with the assumption that God is pleased with us in Christ. Now, there's two things with that. And the first is to realize that prayer is not simply a natural privilege. It is not just anybody can walk into the throne room of God and make their request known. So the biblical picture is Queen Esther. I mean, remember, Esther was the most favored of the king over there in Assyria, but even she couldn't go and ask the king for something unless she was invited by the king. And to go and to make a request to the king without being invited brought with it the death penalty. Now, we should think about that when we think about prayer. You simply cannot just waltz into the presence of God, anybody, and ask for the things that you need. If you can't even do that in an earthly a courtroom, how could you do it in the heavenly courtroom? So the Lord to come before the Lord in prayer is a special privilege that he grants to his children, to those who are baptized. And that's why the Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father," that the Lord makes, he adopts us into his family as in our baptism, forgives all of our sins, calls us to be his own, and then he says, hey, come and pray, and he commands it. Come and ask me for the things that you need. Intercede for those around you. Tell me what you need for this life and for the life to come, and I will hear your prayers, and I will answer them. So that to go before the Lord and to make a petition is only a privilege he grants to the baptized, but it is a privilege he promises us, it is a privilege that he grants to us, that he will, in fact, hear and answer our prayers. So we don't need to apologize for our prayers, to somehow in our prayers win God's affection, to kind of clean ourselves up before we pray, or assume that God is mad at us. No, when we go to pray, we know that the Lord has commanded to do it and that he has promised to hear our prayers, and that's the confidence with which we pray.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he's editor of Around the Word Devotions. By the way, you can receive these free devotions. Just go to issuesztc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for the Around the Word Devotions. There's a link right there. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Russell Moore about religious liberty. We're going to talk media coverage of Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Terry Mattingly will be our guest, and we'll discuss the alleged discovery of the lost tomb of Jesus with Dr. Ben Witherington. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a biography of one of Luther's contemporaries, in fact, someone who was very important to Luther, although it's unclear as to whether Luther ever actually met Frederick the Wise, his prince, Frederick III. But without Frederick the Wise, Luther probably would not have survived, literally survived the Reformation. Features of this great biography include how it is that Frederick was essentially a political genius in the Holy Roman Empire for nearly 40 years. It tells why Frederick's only wife, but not of their children, had to be kept a secret, and it has a full chronology of all the events relevant to Frederick the Wise, putting him in his historical context. Find out more about this great book called Frederick the Wise from Concordia Publishing House. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. 3040. Ask for Frederick the Wise, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. See, Jesus isn't saying there's a wrong way to pray for Christians. He's telling us how Christians pray. See, Christians get worried that they're going to pray wrong. Well, what Jesus says is, your Father knows what you need. Notice what he says, your Father. He can only declare God to be our Father because he, the Son, has made the sacrifice for us at the cross. And now his Father is our Father. And we can ask of our Father in heaven, and he already knows what we need before we ask him, we can ask of him just as Jesus asks of him. We are heard for exactly the same reasons, for the sake of Jesus. In fact, doesn't Jesus even say to ask in his name? And we don't need to worry if we're reading that prayer out of a book that was written 100 years ago. That doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus has already opened the path of prayer to us, and all the petitions and all the answers are rooted in him. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.